Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. God, we thank you for your precious word, God, your light that shines upon us. God, we pray, Lord, that we will not only be hearers of your word, but also doers of your word, and that you would take your word, Lord, into our ears and, God, to the heart. God, would you write on the tablets of our hearts that we may be faithful, God, to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to have our guest all the way from Australia. We're in Australia.
Sydney.
Okay. It's Aaron's sister, a very dear friend, and I'm missing Ambrose and his donuts all the time, but I'm sure we'll see him soon. Okay, so we continue in our series on the attributes of God, and this series we're talking about the light of God. And last week we talked about how light has these paradoxical qualities. Light is both a wave and a particle. And likewise, we saw from Scripture that light of God is not just the words of God, which are like the photons, if you will, but the word of God carries an oomph, the power, the dynamite of God. And so if you receive the word of God, you're not just receiving the words. You know, in the world of analytics, we talk about, data. Okay? The difference between data and fact, right? Like when you have a database, it's not a table of facts. It's a table of relevant facts. It's a table. So data is only if the fact is relevant. The Word of God is not just facts. And it's not just that it's relevant, but it carries with it power. If we have to say, okay, what is the very definition, let's say, of enlightenment? You know, we see, the picture of the light bulb when somebody, gets, I get it, You get these bright ideas, right? Where do you think we get that? You know, why do we talk like that? Why do we say bright ideas and, I see the light? Why do we, why do we have these references? Because of God's design. Words are not just words. Because when we see in Scripture the light of God, which is, the attribute of God, really is very synonymous almost with the glory of God. When the glory of God shined on Moses, God didn't shine light like some spotlight. God spoke his light to Moses, the Scripture says. It actually says God spoke his name. And that very word was so impactful, he falls to the ground and begins to repent and asks for his forgiveness. Moses saw the light, if you will. He saw the light of God. It causes us, right? When we begin to be enlightened, everything around us begins to get colored. Matter of fact, hearing and seeing, right? For blind people, right? They see through, they call it, some people have the gift of like echolocation. That's how they see, right? They draw up a picture. All right, this is the scripture that we began with, Philippians 2:14. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights. So shining is being depicted as doing, but it also is holding fast to the word of life. So it seems to be this source of light, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So it's like almost critical that we have this source of power in the doing of what God is doing, and we got to do it without grumbling. Which means, in order for the power to work, if you grumble doing it, like I know, you know, in the beginning when Ellen and I were just, you know, we got married, like I don't know what it was. Like sometimes when we, like it's like very Korean to say yes to requests or yes to things and then kind of grumble about it. You know, because you don't want to be offensive. You don't want to be rude. So if there's something that got to get done, you say, okay, you know, like I'll do it. And then you're like, you know, in the background, you know, we begin to complain about it. The Word of God says if you do that, then you're going to do it without the strength of the light, the power of the Word of God. So if you're going to do it with all your heart. Do it, what does it say? For the glory of God. Which really means then, right? If the glory of God is the light of God, there's something powerful about doing something in faith that the power of God will meet you in doing something that you ought to do, that you have faith to do. Here's what I'm saying. Don't do it if you're going to grumble. If you're going to say yes to something, right, then you must do it in a way that allows the power of God to flow. And so, which is critical, right? We talked about this. This is all review. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, meaning you all are the light of the world, a city. We're not talking about a lamppost. You're not a lamppost of the world. You're a city, right? It's not like some individual light. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your what? Good works. Light of God is also depicted as the Word of God, which we will see here shortly. But it must produce good works. It's got to. That means you can't just talk the talk. You got to walk the walk. So if God's greatest commandment is to, right, love one another as Jesus has loved us, that's an ought to. You ought to do that. You ought to give. You ought to be loving. You ought to forgive. These are commands. These are musts. So you must do these things. And therefore, the light of God will give you power to do what you must. That's the very definition of the light. You can't be enlightened, right? No one gets enlightened to do, like, you know, even Buddhists, when they get enlightened, right, their lives change. But for some reason, we can go to church for many, many years, never grow in love, right? Never have a goal to show our children how to love. And yet, we can go on for years and I think what we talked about last week. In America, there's an epidemic of fans almost talking and feeling like they're athletes. Fantasy football, you name it. It's grown to such a magnitude. It's become a nice, like, substitute. We got video games now, right? Madden 2020, whatever. And you got amazing graphics on these video games. And then you have friends that are going to join you, and it feels like you're an athlete. And then you go to school or you go to work and you got all the stats. We're so impressed by people that knows all the stats, you know? Same thing with being soldiers, you know? We love the soldier stories, the Green Berets and the SEAL Team Sixes, and, you know, we have video games about that. We know people who know, you know, all these different weapons and, you know, and we can talk the talk. It helps us to make us feel like soldiers. Here's the thing that I'm saying is when you become a Christian, your spiritual genetics change. We know in this natural life, not everybody's an athlete. Not everybody's wired that way. Right? And if you have children and you're really into athletics and they don't got the gene, right? You know, you're disappointed. But here's the thing. When you become a Christian, you become a new creation. You become a new kind of human being. That means it is in your spiritual genetic makeup to be an athlete, not a fan. That means it's in your spiritual genetic makeup to be a soldier and not a fan. It's the very definition of what a Christian is. But if you love Christian songs and you love to listen to Christian podcasts and you can talk the talk, you know, you have all the Bible knowledge, but you're not growing in love. What does Paul say? You're like an empty gong. And I don't want that, do we? We're not called to be fantasy Christians. We don't play Christianity. And that's where the light of God comes in. It is impactful. It is enlightening. So the Word of God enlightens and shines out. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 3:2. It says, "You yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all." Now, what does that mean? That means you heard the Word of God, you heard the gospel, you heard the commandments, you've been enlightened by it. Now people are going to read it. That means people are going to be able to see by your example that those words are true. And how are they true? Because you live by them. That's how they read. And you show that you're a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God who said, 'Light will shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shined." Notice this. Light will shine out. Is the one who has shined in our hearts. For the enlightenment of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Light will continue to shine out because the light has been shined in. Here's the thing. Light can't, if light is shining in, but light is not shining out, then light didn't shine in. If the Word of God says light shines in and then light shines out, then light shines in, light shines out. And it results in what? Enlightenment. And we're going to talk about that. See how scripture defines that. Psalm 19:8, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure." What does it do? Enlightening the eyes. Again, there's a lot of enlightening going on. There's a lot of rejoicing too. Like for an athlete, I remember, you know, when I was learning how to play tennis. Back in the day, when you wanted to learn how to play tennis, right? You went to the library and you picked up a book and you just learned how to play, you know, tennis. I remember, like, if you're, you know, if you've never taken tennis lessons and you, let's say, serve, right? Like the one thing, you know, you just do is like, you take your racket here. This is where you start. You throw the ball and you kind of push the ball into the next court. That's what you do. It was shocking that they wanted you to start like you're scratching your back with a tennis racket. Then you have to kind of whip that around and then hit the ball. Now, that wasn't intuitive to me because I was doing this and they wanted me to start out here, scratching my back. It wasn't also intuitive that if I'm going to hit it with my backhand, I had to turn my wrist. Who knew that, right? And I thought it was all the same, right? So I hit like this, then I would do like this, and I try to hit it like that. We will see, when you want to be a good athlete, you want to be enlightened. You want to learn all the good forms, the good techniques. You desire it because you're an athlete. Fans, they don't care. They don't care. But if you're an athlete, you care. You care about sound doctrine. You care, you care, you care, because you gotta have the good stuff. Mark 8, 17. Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? Hardened. It's another way of saying, are you so arrogant? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we don't want to hear the hard stuff. Like the hard stuff is the good stuff. We got all these like ways, you know, why we justify, why we don't give, why we don't invite people, why don't we get together with people, why we don't recognize people that nobody wants to be with. I mean, why do we always, you know, why do we do this? And what, you know, the point is, like, do you want to grow? Do you want to be godly? You know, do you want to be enlightened so you can do this better? Enlightened. Or is the word of God just facts? Something to know, right? So you can go to work, right? And talk to people and talk about how, you know, you're a Piper guy and I listen to this and I listen to that. But it's not changing your life, right? Your giving hasn't grown. Your hospitality hasn't grown. Your relationships haven't grown. They haven't gotten deeper. Your friendships haven't been broader. Matthew 13, 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. You know, I like sometimes to watch, you know, like training things like back in the old days, you know, when they played basketball and football, you know, like back in the day, everybody shot their free throws kind of like this, you know, and they were pretty good at it, you know, and they didn't learn how to do certain things like running, you know, like they have these professional blocks where they just kick off. I read an article the other day that's like responsible for cutting. Like, that's like the game changer in athletics. So like, being able to, you know, people used to have to dig into the ground to get good footing. I mention that because athletes find a way. You know? Like, they wear suits. I didn't know this about swimming. Every time you do a stroke, you actually create a vortex. And you slip through these vortexes. It's like flying almost. And actually, if you swim next, like it's actually a thing. If you do long relays, people like to ride the wake of another swimmer, right? If you're in like these long, there's strategies involved. Point is, we care. And like, if you see it and you're like, okay, you know what? I get it. Wow. You mean like if I forgive and God's going to give me the ability to forgive, I can be released. I can actually be happy. You know what I mean? If I really trust the word of God and do what it says, instead of trying to have issues with authority and trying to like be all independent. And it's like, if I just submit to the word of God and trust his coaching, I'm going to be free. I'm going to enjoy, you know, being the person God designed me for me to be. Okay. Talk about the second point. The light of the Word of God, the definition of Christian is one who's the light of the Word of God changed their path and goal. If your direction is this, and you became a Christian, and it's still this, something, you weren't enlightened. It changes what you want out of life. It changes your path. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet. See how the word of God is a light? But it's also a light to my path. Our direction, our destination is different. This life. No. I was talking to my brother. He was diagnosed with multiple polyp things in his lungs. He has Parkinson's disease. And he asked me a question. He said, Henry, why do you think God's doing this to me? You know, and I was like, I said, Joe, you know, I don't know exactly why God's doing it to you, but I believe with all my heart, you're an athlete. And these are obstacles. Like, we have a perfect father who makes no mistakes. He's perfect. And everything in our lives are meaningful. And sometimes it'll take courage. It'll take faith. It'll take vulnerability. It'll take trust. Sometimes life will call upon all those things to come to bear on our situation. You have to use the muscles maybe we haven't used in a while. You know, all your training, Joe, is leading up to this. I don't know if those lesions are going to be cancerous. But Joe, I tell you what, you never ever have to be afraid of what your perfect father is doing. You know, we can have absolute confidence in the God who loves us. And one day, you know, receiving the discipline and the word of God purely is better than living 1,000 days, right, in opposition to the word of God. Yes, allow forgiveness, trust, courage, taking risk, loyalty, generous giving. Let those things be called upon. Because one day we're going to reign with Christ. We're going to reign with him. That's what the Bible says. For all of eternity, we're going to have stuff to do with him. And yes, courage is required. Trust, necessary. Faith, loyalty, these are generous giving. These are all required things. These are the qualities of an athlete, a Christian athlete. And here, in this life, that's why we're here.
John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, have seen him. He is the way and the truth. They're two sides of the same coin. He is the light. That's why. He's both the path and the truth. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message. We have heard from him and proclaimed to you that God is light. This is where we're getting what the attribute of God. And in him is no darkness at all. No darkness. If God is turning all things towards the good of those that love him, he is taking out darkness and giving you light. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not what? Practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know what that verse says? At least one of the things that verse says is that fellowship is practicing the truth together. That's how it is defined in that scripture. If you want to have fellowship, see, fellowship is not just getting together and knowing things together. Fellowship is practicing the truth together. Let's go back to the other verse. What is walking in darkness? Walking in darkness is not practicing the truth. You're talking the talk. You know? But it's been a long time since I thought about, you know, how am I, what's my giving like? It's been a long time since I've thought about, hey, what kind of a friend am I? Do I even have friends? Like, what? Think. You're an athlete. An athlete does one thing, right? An athlete trains and trains and trains what? For the game. For the time to come, the kingdom to come. Fellowship with one another is practicing the truth together. 1 Timothy 4:6, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Here's the thing. He's talking about, you know, sound doctrine, telling the hard truth. It says, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine, being trained, right? Talking about the hard things, turning the other cheek, good training. Forgiving your brother 70 times 7, good training, right? Those good words of the faith that you have followed, it says what? Train yourself for godliness. Godliness is practicing and training towards good doctrine. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. Those qualities that I talked about, why am I saying that it lasts for eternity? As it holds promise for the present life and also what? The life to come. Those things, the things that you accumulate and practice here, and those qualities that you develop will last for eternity. You want to have ambition for your children? Have them develop qualities that will last for eternity, not just when they graduate from college. You love your, you know, family, this is what you talk about. You love your husband, you love your wife, you love your parents, right? You want to go where you can be trained, right? You want to go where people are training. Look, for me and my loved ones, I would travel half the world to be in good training environment. Oh, but guess what? So do athletes. Real athletes, right? They come to America to train under a good coach or to attend, let's say, a tennis school in Florida or to train under some golfer trainer. They'll travel all over the world to be on, right? Barcelona soccer team, right? Because they have a great training program. Do you know how college recruits their talent? Do you know what does it? You know what's a clincher? You know why Alabama and Michigan are so successful in recruiting the top talent? You know why? Because they have the best training facilities. They have on-staff physical therapists. They got the best. They spend millions on training facilities. And that's why good athletes will go to that school so they can be in preparation for the pros. Training. Godliness is a result of practicing the truth, which is called training. That's what the scripture said. We read it. Not knowing the truth. It's not knowing it. Godliness doesn't come from, okay, let me read another book. I did that for 10 years. Or let me read another book. Some secret, some twist, be just around. I'm not against reading books. You gotta read. But the point is, unfortunately, godliness comes from practicing the truth, not from knowing it. Now you gotta know it, right? I'm not saying, but you gotta practice it. 2 Corinthians 11:12, For what I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. Now, Paul is talking about these false teachers, these false apostles that have come, you know, trying to enlighten the Corinthian church. Paul's upset. But you know what? He's getting them to see one thing, right? He says, this is how you can tell the difference between me and them. What a true apostle is, what a true teacher does, here's what they're saying. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, distinguishing themselves as apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. They are charismatic. They have a certain, you know, way with people. Right? You know, the thing about it is, it's interesting. I was watching a documentary, you know, on Hillsong. I was watching, listening to a podcast on Mars Hill, you know, the church. And in all of those things, the one thing, the one common denominator, right? People love the charismatic light. They love charismatic people, you know, the way, you know, they love it. Here's how Paul says it. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. You can shine that charismatic light, but your deeds, right? Because one of the things in the interview is what comes out, they're hypocritical. They're not very loving people. They're not forgiving. They're not very empathetic. But these are things that people knew, you know? But hey, if I don't require that in my leaders, maybe I don't have to require it in myself. Because these people talk a good talk. You know what I'm saying? Let's not bother with the walk. Let's just focus on the good talk. 1 Timothy 6:3. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with what? Godliness. This is the verse before the previous verse that we read. He is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. See, think about this. The one thing that you get to do is you get to say, if somebody's teaching, right, they better walk the walk. They got to walk the walk. Now, they might not walk it perfectly. God knows, you know my faults, right? And I try as much as I can to be as transparent as I can about the hardship about walking the walk. And when I get together with fellow athletes and we commiserate about the difficulty of the training, right, there's fellowship. I'm not saying complain. I'm not grumbling. But we share stories. They're good times. But when you see that the talk is not matching the walk, you got arrogance going on. You got conceit. There's conceit. And you understand nothing. What does that mean? That's not the light that God gave you. You got the facts, right? But you didn't get the relevant data. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again, and subjecting him to public disgrace. It says it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, right? What? It's impossible. Once you've been enlightened, right, it'll change your life. And the thing is, the reason why, right, when we in our church, when we are running together, we have growth group, we want to talk about things, we're talking to you like fellow athletes who want to train towards godliness.
right? Sometimes you have to try to walk on eggshells. I mean, we want to be as gentle. We want to be as transparent. We want to be as empathetic, kind, gentle, and loving. But at the end of the day, I believe that what you want and what you believe is that you want to be the best athlete, the best soldier that you want to be. There are other places that accommodate fans. But I don't think you want to be a fan. I think you want to be what God calls you to be. And that is creatures of the light. And creatures of the light are not fans. We don't love the darkness. It's not that we don't crave the darkness, but we don't love it. We fight against it because we are creatures of the light. That's why we are coming out into the open, right? You know, we don't want to cheat on the training. We don't want to try to pretend like we're somebody that we're not. Because at the end of the day, right, if we do that, then the light that we get will be robbed of its power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord. We thank you as a church for the glory that shines, God, in our midst. God, you have been generous and kind to pour out your light, God, causing us to change, God, enlightening the eyes. And we pray that you would continue to do so, God, that you would continue to pour forth, and that we would, God, that we would welcome such light. And God, that as we receive, Lord, as your light shines in us, God, may we be, Lord, that city on a hill that shines out. In Jesus' name, amen.